You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude!
Hey, welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So glad you're here as we celebrate this joyous day that is a Wednesday here in the state of Wisconsin. I am Pete Schwabe, joined as always by Mr. Greg Bach, who joins us from Radio Park in Racine. I am coming to you live from Christmas City, USA, a.k.a. beautiful Marinette, Wisconsin, on the shores of Green Bay. And Dom Lee, as we haven't called him in a while, is joining us from Madison, holding down the fort, producing the show. It is good to see you, fellows. How are we doing?
Dom?
I'm doing good. I'm not.
That's
doing...
always so polite when I ask that.
Well, it's a thing of like, I don't want to be. So.
I'm doing Dom, really go good. Ahead. This is the best day of the week for me. I finished packing fully. Now I just have to clean a little bit of my apartment, but I'm ready to go for tomorrow. I'm excited. It's a good day.
You got to clean like to get your security deposit back. Is that how that works?
Yep.
You're gonna get it back.
I think so. I've hit a wall or two, maybe three, but I should be getting my deposit back.
You mean like metaphorically, or you actually hit a wall? You punched a wall.
I did accidentally punch my wall, but it was accidental. It wasn't on purpose. I wasn't mad or anything. I just kind of turned.
Do you need help fixing it?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, not. Yeah, I do actually.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's an argument you're not going to win with an inanimate object like that, Dom. That is not advisable.
Yeah, I won't get my seat.
Glad you're okay.
Yeah, but I've seen his guns. Drywall doesn't stand a chance against Dom.
That's a good point. And you got the long sleeves. You're rocking the long sleeves today.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I'm feeling good.
Very good. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing
repping the crew. I like the shirt.
Thank you very much. I beat the Padres last night. That was great. I'm not happy that they were ahead really nicely, and then it was a 4-6 victory versus a 6-2. But that's the life of a Brewers fan. No, I'm just also just wrestling with this bug that I've got. I've been trying to kick its butt, but it's just like I'm not sick, but I'm not well. I'm in that mid space where blech. So
you're either going to defeat it or it's going to become a full-blown thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm afraid of, too, is that, you know, it's going to be a thing where my body says, oh, guess what? You're staying home for the next 4 days because you just didn't go to sleep more. And, you know, that's to me what, whether you're getting a flu or a cold, especially a flu is your body saying, hey, you know how you haven't been taking care of yourself for the past 6 to 8 months? Well, now you get a little break and it's not going to feel good either. So there you go.
Now you pay the check. Yeah,
exactly. But I'm doing fine. It's whatever. Unlike Dom, Wednesday is leading into my favorite day, which is Thursday. That's
Thursday's
coming up here.
A great day.
I love Thursday. Thursday just feels great.
To ask you, do you have a remedy or something you do when you feel yourself getting sick? I've had a couple doctors tell me, take echinacea. Mm-hmm. This was years ago.
Yeah.
And then it was during COVID, it was vitamin D. And I shoveled vitamin D in like it was a hot dish casserole for
two years.
I didn't get COVID. At least I'd never tested positive for it. So I might have been one of those people that carried it. My guess would be I probably had it, but my daughter and I did not test positive. However, I would do the vitamin D, the echinacea, try to get to bed. And I always pride myself, oh, I haven't been sick and whatever, but I still get sick. And you know, it doesn't last as long maybe because you load up on D, but you can't not get sick. What? Did I say something?
Nothing. You're fine. You're fine. It just keeps on nothing. I think that you are not as healthy as you think you are simply because earlier before we got on the air, you said something to the effect of, I sent this story at 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, so, well, I know.
And that's fine. And people have sleeping problems. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying we get sick because we get sick. It's from not taking care of yourself. It's also just from your body. Things happen. So,
dude, I mean,
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, for me, excited. I don't really do like any sort of preventative, like if I'm not feeling well, I'll maybe load up on fluids, or I'll be very intentional with my sleeping to make sure I'm going to bed early, sleeping as much as possible. But I don't go for any sort of like, you know, echinacea, or what was that one that actually got proven wrong and they had to pay out money? It was the
zinc.
Not the, it's it was like an orange drink mix. Emergency. Oh. When they were like, take that before you go on an airplane, you'll never get sick. I'm like, I don't think you can say that.
I don't think it was. You're close. What was that called? I always cracked up because it said created by a teacher. It's like,
yes,
oh.
That was emergency. Emergency.
I'm like, created by a teacher. My wife's a teacher. I don't want her designing a cold cocktail. Oh, this one's designed by a forklift operator. Beautiful. Let me take some. You know,
it's still available. It's called Emergence C Immune Support Sub. I don't know. I don't think it can hurt.
It's just an extra vitamin C, but it's not going to prevent anything. I don't think.
Yeah, so I'm not going to take it at all then, because honestly, at the end of the day, that's just $15 out of my pocket for nothing. Not something that's doctor recommended or doctors. I don't know. I just get sleep when I'm not feeling well. I just take a rest and make sure I just take it easy. I don't try to overexert myself because I don't want it to get worse. So
I don't have sleeping issues. Last night I went to bed at like 10:40, which is the earliest I've gone to bed in years. And I woke up at 2, wide awake. And typically when I look at my phone, when I'm in bed, I'll pick out a Seinfeld episode. I can't even pick out the episode before I fall asleep. Like that's how fast. So I'm kind of on fumes today, but I kind of like that sometimes. I feel like you work a little harder to get through it, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Agree.
And you know what I did? I was laying in bed and I got obsessed with the Greenland shark because I get these reels, these AI videos of dinosaurs and these cool species. Dom, I know you have issues with how the dinosaurs, maybe they still exist. I don't know. But the Greenland shark, some of them can live to 600 years old and they're huge. Mm-hmm. And what kind of an existence is that, you guys? This thing swims 1 mile an hour for 500. They've been around before this country, the Nina, the Santa Maria, whatever. That's not a life, dude. That's not like really fun. It's like terrible.
Yeah. You're also assigning human values to a shark.
The shark does not look like it's having fun.
I mean, like it's just like, I just wish I was invited to a few more parties in my time.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I'm going to bump this up to a mile and a half swim and really cut loose, you know, in the North Atlantic. Crazy, but incredible creatures.
I will say though this, that something, and this is my thing too, is that, you know, when it comes to what you just said, it's something that I really would love to wean myself off of, which is going to bed and turning nothing on. No TV, no phone. My brother-in-law is a very, very, very accomplished doctor. And I asked him one day, he said the 3-2-1 method is the best way to do it. 3 hours, stop working 3 hours before bed. Stop working eating? 3 hours before bed. Oh no, it's don't eat 3 hours before it. 2 hours, stop working. I think he said, I can't remember.
Or but don't basically drink, he said, don't eat, don't drink. Maybe.
But no, stop working too. Stop working. But also an hour before bed, turn off your screens completely. Get a book, get yourself right, because that stuff just messes with your eyes and it keeps you up. I mean, the amount of time that I've gone to bed at like 9 o'clock at night, but I don't fall asleep until 1:15 because I'm just scrolling on my.
It's awful.
It's bad for you. It's bad for you. And I wouldn't be surprised that's part of the reason why I'm not feeling well either.
It is fun though. Like I want to appreciate that a world of entertainment is at my fingertips. Old comedy clips. People falling. It's fun.
But they're there anytime.
I know, dude.
It's not like if you don't look at them at 2:30 in the morning, they'll be gone for. They'll come back.
It's true.
They'll come back. I believe in you.
That's the voice of Greg Bach, folks. It's Pete and Greg coming to you live on the Civic Media Network. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday night. We have an excellent show tonight. We're going to welcome our first guest tonight will be Stephen Petrie and Julia Colby. Stephen is the informal education coordinator at the Milwaukee Public Museum, an awesome institution. And Julia is the zoology collections manager. So they will be here at 5:35 after the news. Then in hour number two, we have a James Beard winning food journalist, Adam Reiner, will be here. He's going to talk to us about etiquette and how we should behave when we're at restaurants and the proper things to do. And I have to admit, I was doing everything wrong, Greg. Yeah. So this is going to be an education. I thought I walk in and order food. No, no, no. There's a whole etiquette thing to that we're going to learn about tonight. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll be talking about his book, The New Rules of Dining Out, which I guess means wear pants.
Or dining in, then you don't have to.
Exactly.
Nightlight Movie Club is tomorrow night, folks. And hour number two, that's going to be a blast. We had David Zucker on last week, and he is one of the writer, director, producers of Airplane, along with his brother Jerry and their pal Jim Abrahams. Pat Proft might have been involved in a few of their movies, too. Just a great team who made some of the comedies for the ages. Airplane is consistently ranked one of the best all-time comedies, top five, whatever. We're going to discuss that tomorrow night in hour number two. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we hope you'll join us and tell us your favorite Airplane scenes, lines, actors, whatever. It's just going to be a fun discussion. That's tomorrow night in hour number two. Right now, I think we need to get to our question of the night, fellows.
I agree.
This is exciting, folks. It is National Crouton Day. You didn't think it existed. It does. Have fun with it. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite salad topping? And you can even say there's actually a product out there called Salad Toppins. You can say that if you want. But let us know what your favorite salad topping is at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app. Text us on the stream if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter. And let us know. Be part of the fun. Always more fun when you guys participate. So that's exciting, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know what is not exciting but infuriating?
I think I know where this is going.
News coming out of Jefferson County. Last night, there was a school board meeting, and the Watertown School Board votes to remove a song tied to LGBTQ history from their spring concert. This is being reported by WTMJ. Last night, the board voted 7-1 to remove an instrumental piece tied to LGBTQ plus history. The piece is called A Mother of a Revolution. It's a composition by Omar Thomas, written in honor of transgender activist Marsha P. Johnson. She is the one who threw the brick through the window at the Stonewall Bar that created the Stonewall Uprising, that basically created the modern civil rights movement for the queer community. So here's the thing that really burns my grits, guys. They had been practicing this concert for months, and the parents had been sent a letter in October saying, we're doing this concert in May. There's a song in here. You have the opportunity to opt your child out of this. And when they received what I imagine was almost no responses, okay. But now, of course, a week or two beforehand, everyone loses their mind. Well, not just everyone, some people. And the Watertown School Board decides to go there and bloviate on opinions that mean absolutely nothing because they are just trying to mirror the opinions of the MAGA crusade, which is no indoctrination of our children. No one's trying. This is an instrumental piece. There's no pictures. There's no one talking. It's a piece of music. That's all it is. And they decided to pull it.
For those of you that don't know an instrumental, there are no lyrics, Greg. It's not even. And what irritates me is it's a difficult piece to play. These kids work so hard, and they got voted down 7-1. And when a reporter, I think it was from WTMJ, was trying to get their opinions as these school board members walked out, they wouldn't even talk to her. If you're that committed in your beliefs, why aren't you talking about them? And why are you running away? It's so snowflakey and gutless.
And the concert isn't canceled. They just can't, quote, play the song. So those kids, play the song. Do it.
I hope they do.
Do it.
Greg, you're indoctrinating me. all right, we are coming right back, folks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba and Greg Bakken. When we come back, Friends news. Ross and Rachel, you got it. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin. You've got the Civic Media Network. You've got Pete Schwabe, Greg Bach, Dom Lee. We are coming to you live from various parts of the state. I am in northeast Wisconsin. Greg is in southeast Wisconsin. And Dom is in Madison, Wisconsin. We are the Yotter Hay Triangle, and we are glad you're part of the show and joining us tonight. Before we get back to our stories, someone is calling in. And you know what, Greg? This is how I'm going to segue. I know this person. This is Jack from Merrimack. He is definitely not calling in on a Trump phone. I know that much.
That's very true. He's not got his Trump phone yet. Jack from Merrimack, welcome to the show. How are you doing, bud?
I'm still waiting for my Trump phone. I did darn well better give me my $100 back.
Yeah, good luck on that one, buddy. What's up, sir? What is on your mind tonight?
Well, again, it's the school board so-called decision is a bunch of the maggots that are just engendering and inciting fear, hate, and anger. Fear of anybody that is anything different, hate of the fact that maybe these people can actually get some rights in our society, and anger that, oh my goodness, somebody might think this is acceptable. Crazy. Oh yes, yeah. The whole thing. This is just, you know, I mean, this is to draw. This kind of stuff is just drawing attention away from little things like the Trumpstein files and the fact that our democracy is being not whittled away bit by bit, but
bulldozed. You know, Jack, I find it very interesting. Yeah. I find it very interesting that the gentleman from the school board was his whole thing was we don't want to indoctrinate children. I'm like, yeah, but you're not protecting them either. You're not prosecuting anyone on the Epstein files. But yet this instrumental song played by 40 kids at Watertown High School in Wisconsin, that is where the danger lies, my friends. That's where the
threat
danger
to society.
Is.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Thank you for the call, Jack. Great stuff.
Thank you very much. Yep.
And speaking of the phone. Did you see this coming, Greg? I mean, of all the failed ventures in the Trump family, the phone, the gold phone, the writing was on the wall. People are furious now. The Trump family's made $60 million from $100 deposits on this phone that is never going to happen. And if it does or if it did, it was never going to be made in the United States. It's going to be made in China. And that's how they sold it as something made in the USA.
Well, that's how a lot of manufacturing companies get. I know a friend of mine who worked for a company where they sold, heavy truck parts, and their whole thing was like, made in the USA. You're buying American strong. Well, the workaround there was they were buying from the American company that was the middleman for the Chinese manufacturing firm that made the actual parts.
Yeah.
So, the fact that people actually thought they were going to get a phone, I don't know, but like, I'm also getting tired of seeing.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Greg down?
Oh, I'm right here. Hello.
Here. Oh, there he is.
Okay. Whether it's the Trump guitar, the Trump vodka, the Trump phone, the Trump, what was the state? Well, I mean, those are the old days. I'm talking about the new grifts and the new steals.
How about the hoop
scams.
Shoes? Yeah.
The hoops. Well, the hoop shoes are real. People actually bought those weird things. But like the phone, dude, I mean, I'm not even buying a phone from a legitimate company. If they're like, yeah, give us some money. We'll be sure to get it to you. No,
right.
No, thank you.
You know what people didn't realize either is when you buy a Trump phone, the plans were not very good. It was you get like 100 texts and 7 unlimited minutes a month. So that's not a very good system.
And you get texted by Eric and Don Jr. a lot, and it's very weird.
When they come back from their guided hunts of rhinoceroses and stuff. All right, so here's another thing I saw, Greg, and I love this. All right, the show Friends, I don't know where you stand on the show Friends. I like it. I don't. Mm-hmm. It's not one of my top five, but it's a very well-written show. Very funny. Great actors. But the Ross Rachel stuff, I was still not really watching it when that happened, but it's back. Lisa Kudrow went on Jimmy Fallon and said that Ross was in the wrong. His constant yelling, we were on a break. She said he was a terrible boyfriend. Where do you weigh in on that? And how about it? The fact that it's back in the news?
Well, I mean, she's been making headlines for the past little while because because of the death of Matthew Perry, she's been rewatching Friends for the first time through. So she's had some thoughts on this. I don't disagree. Ross is insufferable. Ross
he's
is
whiny.
Absolutely. He was insufferable.
Awful.
It's like that show is 32 years old this year. It started in 1994, and I was in high school. And I'll tell you this, even in high school and in college, I thought Ross was insufferable, and I was a young man, and I could have been like, he's totally no. He screwed up. He messed up. He like no. He was a bad boyfriend, and the whole will goes anyways. Where they get and then they spend like 7 seasons not together, and then they I about Friends is when Monica and Chandler got together, they were together. They were, they started dating, they got engaged, they got married, they had kids, show over. There was no like, are they going to break up? No. They were confident and they were strong in their relationship. Ross and Rachel, that is a that's a therapy session in my mind.
And nobody really cared after a while. It was like, oh, they got together and people in the tabloids went nuts and it was great. Yeah. Okay, and then I actually liked that. I thought it was fun. He was funny. David Schwimmer is a very good actor, but man, you're right. Was he annoying? And I saw on a Reddit post once, somebody wrote, what is the point of Ross?
So I mean,
maybe he was like the most forgettable character, but a very talented guy. But I am with Lisa Kudrow on this. And Schwimmer went on Fallon and said Ross was definitely in the right because technically they were on a break. So this is all back in our lives now.
Oh, boy. Well,
we'll see.
From a technical standpoint, maybe. But from a human common sense point, dude. Yeah.
The time has passed.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, our question of the night is, what is your favorite salad topping? What do you have to have on your salad? Let us know. It's National Crouton Day. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the Civic Media app or drop us a stream comment. Great to have you with us tonight. We are coming back and we're going to talk Milwaukee Public Museum. It's a great chat. Don't miss it. And it's a great institution and we're going to do it upright. This is Pete Schwab and Greg Bach and Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always get in touch, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You leave a comment on our live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Let us know your thoughts on our question of the night. It's National Crouton Day. What's your favorite salad topping? Not just dressing, but topping. So let us know. While you're doing that, we're going to get to our first guests for the evening. Very excited to have them here from the Milwaukee Public Museum. Julia Colby is the Zoology Collections Manager, and Stephen Petrie is the Informal Education Coordinator here to talk about all the great things happening at the museum. Good afternoon / evening, folks. How are y'all doing?
Great. Doing great. Thanks so much.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for being here on the show this evening. Well, there's a lot going on at the Milwaukee Public Museum, but we're here to talk about specifically the BioBlitz that's happening next month. Why don't you let the folks know what's going on with the BioBlitz, the event itself, and what they can expect to see?
Yeah, so the BioBlitz is a super fun event. It is the 12th and 13th of June. There's public programming on the 13th. It is fun. It is great for people of all ages, and probably best of all, it is free. So just come on down. We'll have nature walks, IDs. You can talk to the scientists and see what they've found. They will have been there since Friday surveying. And at the end of that time, you know, the scientists are out in the field finding species and putting names on them. We'll announce what we found, and it's a really fun time for all sorts of folks.
Excellent.
That's so great. Stephen, you're the Informal Education Coordinator, as Greg just mentioned. Tell us a little bit about your duties and how important education is from a museum. I mean, it's so great that we have such a great museum in Milwaukee and many others as well. But this one in particular puts kids in touch with history and all the great exhibits you guys have. What is your connection or liaison between education and the facility itself?
Of course. Thanks for asking the question. Job education takes a lot of forms in our everyday life and certainly at the museum. And so we have my counterpart, we were joking about this earlier. We do have a formal education coordinator. he does the like formal school programming. So if you sign up officially for a program, we have programs that way. But also we just love when people come to our museum and have an opportunity to learn something from someone on the floors. And so that's what I specifically oversee and help coordinate is if you ever come to the museum and you find an educator, a docent, someone else that is included free with admission to just tell you something cool, to have some hands-on activity, those are the types of things that we try and bring to the fore. And we have a lot of it going on throughout the week, but especially try and do it big on certain days. And the next one coming up is going to be our big theme day called Creepy Crawly Day on Saturday, June 6th from 11 to 3, where we'll have, I think it's about 10 stations on the floors. You can interact with live insects. You can learn a little bit about our littlest neighbors around us, what makes them special, what makes them important to us, how we can take care of them. And you can also try and eat live bugs, or not live bugs. You can try and eat real bugs yourself as a sustainable source of protein.
I'll pass on that. Thanks. Interesting as it sounds.
Julia, you are the zoology collections manager. What is, like, when I first saw collections, my first brain went to like, wait, what, like deadbeat zoologist? But no. What do you do in your job there at the museum as far as like being the collections manager?
So I think we're all familiar with the museum floors. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of specimens on those museum floors. Behind the scenes, we have 4 million specimens and objects that are in storage. So think of it sort of like a, you know, an archive or a special collections library where you don't necessarily need to get at all of those things all the time, but it's important that they're there when you do need them. Mm-hmm. So my role, I manage about half of that collection or half of that total of 2 million or 4 million specimens. I've got about 2 million of those in my collection. So I'm in charge of making sure that they're housed correctly and cared for. I manage use. So when scientists or researchers or artists or students want to come in and answer a research question or use the material in some way, I help coordinate that. And then all of those specimens, they're important because they're specimens, but they're important because there's data with them, like where it was collected and who collected it and when they were collected. And so I help manage that data as well to get that data as accessible as possible to as many people as possible.
Excellent.
That's so great. Let's jump back to Creepy Crawly Day, if we can, just for a minute. It's Saturday, June 6th. It says the finale. Is this a series? And how popular, like when kids go there, Stephen, when they come to the museum, are they excited to interact with bugs and Creepy Crawly Day? Or what is, tell us a little bit more about this and how interactive it is.
Sure. So why it says it's the finale is because this is the finale of one of what we've been calling our greatest hits. So as we all know, Milwaukee Public Museum, it's going to be closing at the end of this year. Still plenty of time to come in and say your goodbyes or hellos three or four or five times before you finally say goodbye. But throughout about every other month, we've been highlighting one of the really special topics and exhibits that make this museum, this place feel special. And so this is our third one. It's wrapping it up on the rainforest, butterflies, and of course, all the creepy crawly things with us. So right now we're diving deep into the bugs. It's a perfect time to do it spring. In the past, we've covered kind of the ancient world. We focused on our great dioramas, but we still also have more to come later in the summer. We'll be focusing all on dinosaurs, all on ancient life. Nice. And then we'll be closing it off in the fall with a really deep dive into the streets of Old Milwaukee and European Village. And so this one I'm really excited for. This one's one of my favorite. We've actually been doing Creepy Crawly Day for a couple of years, and it's just so much fun to have extra life here, not just because there's so many people here bringing that excitement, but also because we get to bring out live bugs, which we get to see a lot, but we don't get to do every day.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Stephen Petrie and Julia Colby of the Milwaukee Public Museum discussing the BioBlitz events as well as the Creepy Crawly event. As far, Julia, as far as the BioBlitz event goes, you know, what are the things that, like, because it's a 24-hour celebration, what are things that people really look forward to in that specific event?
So a lot of the surveyors who are there for the 24 hours really welcome the chance to sort of put their day jobs aside and go out and do the thing they love, which is looking at the natural world. A lot of them really love sharing information with the public. So on Saturday, they're at Ware Nature Center. You know, you can come up and talk to them and they'll show you what they found and how they identified it. The public, I think, really likes a chance to look at the natural world in a new way. Because, you know, you can walk through the woods and not see anything. And if somebody goes along with you and says, oh, that's, you know, this kind of warbler or this kind of tree, like that gives you a whole new perspective on often nature that's a park that is in your own backyard that you go to all the time.
Just to piggyback on what Greg said, Julia, what are, you know, this is, it says celebrating Wisconsin. species and you know, biodiversity. What do we see in Wisconsin? Like, what are some of the big draws and how do they mix together like that?
Yeah, so that's one of those things that, like, we think about diversity, we think about like a tropical rainforest and it's, oh, it's so diverse and it's so exotic, but there's so much biodiversity in your own backyard. Like a couple of years ago, we have a surveyor who studies algae, and there is a species of algae that only lives on snapping turtles, which I didn't know. Oh. And so there's all these little tiny things. Like there's the big things that you're used to, like deer and turkeys and maple trees. But then there's all these other little things that you've never considered. And they're all so important for the way you live your life and the things you do for fun and the water that you drink and the air that you breathe. And understanding a little bit more about those makes you much more inclined to do something about them.
And I can just add in here too, as an educator, I'm fortunate enough that oftentimes we get to participate in the Education Day at BioBlitz, which is specifically the Saturday component of it. And in between people coming up and asking questions and doing the activities, one of my favorite things is to just sit and have a chance to talk to the scientists in the field and learn all about these little tidbits. I know they love talking about it, so I'm not going to say I was annoying them, but there was a couple of years ago that I got to sit next to our butterfly wing supervisor, John Bertolis, and just ask him all of the questions about the butterflies. And I washed away with such a deeper appreciation of that life that, you know, you see a butterfly and you're like, oh, that's pretty. But actually understanding what it's doing here is really something that's special about getting to interact directly with scientists.
Well, and that's something that I wanted to ask you both was the fact that, you know, you work at the Milwaukee Public Museum. You're both experts in your field. You have your day to day. You come to work with your lunch. You got your work to do. But as you just said, Julia, there are folks there who work there, but they also love being in nature. For both of you, what is something that is just a mind blowing fact you learn from the museum that you share? And just like, as a person who works there every day, still like surprises you and gets you excited to be doing the work you're doing. Like, what is Julie? We can start with you.
Yeah, I mean, so part of my job is obviously a lot of hands-on care of the specimens that we have in our collections. And every day that I get to do that, it is just a gift to see the diversity of life on Earth. And there's always something that I'm sure I've seen it before, but I've never really thought about it. And, you know, just seeing that diversity of the things that I really enjoy is, to me, great. And if that's like, if I ever come in and I'm like, oh geez, it's just another day dealing with owls, that's the time that I need to leave. You know, I need to get a different job.
I say that every day.
Yeah, yeah. But like, they're always, it's always exciting and it's always new to me.
Steven, what about you?
I mean, that's such a difficult question to answer. It's one of those things that it does. Sometimes you have to just take a pause and realize how awesome the place you work at is. Because, I mean, sometimes, some days it's a desk job. I know yesterday I had a bunch of meetings. I didn't get to walk around the museum floors. I wasn't teaching that day. But then if you just get 5-10 minutes to walk around and be like, oh, I get to work around all of this history. And just like my today is I get to walk by and look at something that's 400 million years old and just appreciate that's what the world actually used to look like here in Wisconsin. And I have to say, like, personally, big nerd about the Silurian period, have a Silurian tattoo, favorite exhibit. So excited also that it's going to be represented in so much bigger way in the future museum.
I'm kind of envious that both of you work there, and I think it would be a really cool gig. If I actually knew stuff, I would probably just be referring people to you guys, but it seems like such a great environment. Let me ask you this. We have about a minute and a half or so before we have to do a break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Stephen Petrie and Julia Colby from the Milwaukee Public Museum. But what are some of the times to go there? I love kids. I have kids. But if you're an adult and want to just immerse yourself in the museum, when is the best time to go when it's not volume 10 and there's kids running everywhere, as joyous as that is?
I would say, I mean, especially as people are appreciating it in our last year, it does get pretty busy. If you are an adult looking for a little bit calmer time, I would say anytime after 3 p.m., the school groups are going to start leaving for the day. A lot of the kids are going home for their naps. And so there's still probably going to be people here. You're still rolling the dice. It's a pretty popular place, but especially if you want to enjoy a little bit calmer atmosphere, I'd say mid to late afternoon is your best bet.
There you go. All right, we're gonna, Julie. I want to get your thoughts on this as well. You may have a time that we don't know about, secret time we don't know about, but we're gonna talk more about that on the other side of the break. We are talking with Julia Colby. She is the Zoology Collections Manager, and Stephen Petrie. He's the Informal Education Coordinator from the Milwaukee Public Museum. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to and/or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. As always, get in touch, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The question of the night, it's National Crouton Day. What is your favorite salad topping? Let us know. And coming up in the second hour, we'll be speaking with Adam Reiner, who's a James Beard award-winning food journalist, talking about his new book and the new rules behind dining. So stick around for that. But right now we are continuing our conversation with our friends from the Milwaukee Public Museum, Stephen Petrie. He is the Informal Education Coordinator, and Julia Colby is the Zoology Collections Manager at the museum. And as you mentioned, Stephen, before, and this is open to whomever would like to answer, but it's your last year here at that current location. You will be moving and opening up in 2027, and you have your greatest hits exhibits going on, but what else is happening in these last few months at this historic location for the Milwaukee Public Museum?
I mean, in addition to our greatest hits, we in between have all the same kind of great programming that our regular visitors have come to love and expect. So we'll be celebrating things all throughout the summer. When we get into fall, before we kick off our Streets and European Village greatest hit, we'll be doing a lot of programming for Hispanic Heritage Month, for LGBTQ History Month. And then, of course, in November, we'll be doing a whole showcase of so much programming for Native American History Month.
Wonderful.
That is so great. I always thought it'd be cool to live on the old time Milwaukee Street, kind of like Walt Disney did at Disneyland. He had an apartment apparently over the firehouse. It just seems like a cool place. Tell us a little bit about, this sounds really cool to me, an event you guys have coming up on May 28th, Adult Trivia Night, Rainforest and Butterflies Edition.
So the bad news about that event is if you really wanted to come and you didn't buy your tickets, it is already sold out.
Oh, wow.
It is going to be a great night, and I will put a plug in there. While this one, if you didn't buy your tickets already, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. There will be a family trivia night about dinosaurs, doing our dinosaur greatest hit. And, you know, if that one sells out too, maybe look forward to another trivia. Can't promise anything. But those are always fun nights where we have themed trivia kind of highlighting one specific topic, but also bringing in all of the different facets of our museum. And some are a little bit easier, but, you know, it's trivia. We're trying to stump people and have you having a good time, but also learning something.
Will there be scalpers outside? Can we score some tickets that way? Or
I don't know if we would allow that, but you know,
rats.
If it's far enough away, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Okay, good to know.
Julia, besides the BioBlitz events coming up next month, is there anything that you're looking forward to specifically in these last few months at that location before you move?
Gosh, that's a tough question.
I ask all the tough questions.
Really,
I am such a
He's
journalist.
He's trying to make you cry. He wants to be Barbara Walters, Julia.
I mean, most of my job, aside from BioBlitz, which is very public facing, is behind the scenes. And so right now my time is almost exclusively devoted to the move. So that's what, you know, is often not very visible change, but that's what I'm really doing.
Honestly, she might not even realize when we close the doors because she's going to be too busy moving all of those great things.
They're just going to lock me in here. It's fine.
Is it like when you move to another apartment, you have to call your friends up and be like, hey, guys, can you come on out and just get all the trivia people like, hi, you got to help us move for an hour before we start trivia. But it'll be fun.
Yes.
Sort of. Yeah. I mean, we've hired a huge crew of really talented folks to help with the move. And so it's basically, you know, all of our friends have come to help put things in boxes very, very carefully.
That's cool. You're off the hook, Dom. So we want to, I want to ask you guys, we have, you know, a couple minutes left. Tell us about the planetarium and any fun films that you guys will be showing at the theater right there in-house. That sounds fun.
So that one, I don't know all of the specifics because unfortunately for me, I love the idea of the planetarium. I get motion sick, so I don't get to watch a lot of the shows myself. I do know that whenever we get to our greatest hits, especially for the Dino Days of Summer, you can expect a lot of new, but also some returning favorites of our dinosaur movies coming up. So if you want to see dinosaurs on the big screen, they don't make screens bigger than ours.
That's awesome.
I will also say that we have a special show that I think will be opening maybe exclusively in the new building, but it's made in-house by us, by our staff, called Wisconsin Wonders, Land, Sky, and People, all about Wisconsin, because the new museum is very, you know, Wisconsin-centric, and is the architecture especially was inspired by Wisconsin, so it's sort of a tour of the state. And I've seen snippets of it, and it looks really cool.
And that'll be opening up in the new location?
I believe so. I think we had some footage shown for Inside Out, but I believe it will open in the new museum.
So, nice. Hey, maybe if you ask about it enough, there might be more sneak peeks.
Yeah, that'll do a sneak preview.
Bug the people. That's a pun. That's a pun. Badger. That's also a pun. All right, just bother them a lot. All right. We only have a couple minutes left here. Really quick before we get on. I don't know if we'll talk to you before the move, but what are the last things you want to talk about before we get on out of here about the museum, about what you have left to do for the rest of the year? And just, you know, I want you to gush for the museum because I know how much you love it.
I mean, that is very true. I mean, both Stephen and I are huge museum fans, but yeah,
just a little bit.
I think reminding folks that we have a lot of great programming and events, and we're still here and we're still open. Obviously, I'm going to plug the BioBlitz again because that's a huge thing for me. We're going to be at Ware Nature Center. We're so excited to be there because our partners at Ware are fantastic. There's going to be so much fun stuff to do on Saturday. And I think I mentioned this earlier, but it's free and that matters.
That does matter a lot.
Excellent. I think I would just add as one last plug, it's always great to come down to the museum, but also if you haven't seen it already, take a look at all of the cool new merch that they're plugging in the gift shop. They are really going out of their way to get the best t-shirts I have ever seen. So, you know, Milwaukee Public Museum, we got some time left, and you have some time to represent your love of this building in the community.
I certainly hope your bosses are listening to that plug for merchandise. No, my goodness gracious. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get there before you guys close out and move. But that has been Julia Colby, Zoology Collections Manager, and Stephen Petrie, the Informal Education Coordinator from the Milwaukee Public Museum. Guys, thank you so much for being here so much. Have fun over the next few months. We'll get on out there and have a great time with you. But thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
All right. On the other side of the break, after the news, Adam Reiner, James Beard award-winning food journalist, will be here talking about his new book. So you don't want to miss that. Plus, we'll be talking about the question of the night, which is, what is your favorite salad topping? So don't go anywhere. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.